Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Lagos, good morning to you. Welcome to the last 1 hour of the morning crossfire for today, Thursday. Quick one. Today is the last quarterfinal match of the I Beg to Differ debate competition. You can't miss it for anything. It starts 4 p.m. on Hard Facts with Sandra Ezekwesili. Do not even try to miss that for anything. And next week, we crown the champions. That's just the way it is, all right? I beg to differ. Debate competition brought to you by Nigeria Info with our very, very esteemed partners. Thank you all for always making sure that you tune into our shows. We appreciate it. You can watch us live right now on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. We're streaming live on those two platforms, Nigeria Info 99.3. You can track all our conversations there. It's Thursday, and you know, if it's Thursday, then it's health conversation. That's what we do here on Nigeria Info's Morning Crossfire every Thursday between 8 and 9. Today, we're talking stroke. That's right. In fact, next week, we are talking stroke again. So, brace yourself for these 2 weeks back-to-back on stroke conversation. I have joining me via Zoom, which means you can watch on Facebook and YouTube, Dr. Alfred Kanu Alfred, consultant neurologist at the Federal Teaching Hospital in Gombe. Dr. Kanu, a very lovely morning to you, sir. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, sir.
It's good to have you here, sir.
Thank you for having me.
And I must specially thank you because your schedule is so tight, so tight. But then you are interested in educating people and enlightening people, and you said you are going to give us this time to share with you some of the questions and some of the concerns as regards stroke in Nigeria. Again, thank you so much for giving us your time today, sir.
You're welcome, sir.
I just want to bring this to a context, proper context. Dr. Kanu, how many neurologists do we have in Nigeria practicing?
Well, it's a bit difficult to give the exact figure since we keep having people
leaving
the country for one reason or the other. But let's say an estimate of 100.
100 neurologists.
Yes.
What does a neurologist do?
A neurologist is a doctor who specializes in taking care of the brain and other components of the nervous system.
Interesting. Now let's talk about stroke. What can you tell us about stroke in general before we now, you know, piece it apart? What is stroke? What does it mean?
Stroke is a vascular disorder of the brain, meaning is a disease of the blood vessels that supply the brain. And it's, or is a disorder of the brain resulting from abnormality of the blood vessels. And it's usually of sudden onset, and it may or may not lead to death, but it usually leaves victims that are involved with disabilities. And these disabilities we refer to as neurologic deficits.
Talk to us, Dr. Kanu, about the signs that somebody is should look out for, or the symptoms that somebody should look out for when you talk about stroke. What are these signs and symptoms?
Well, stroke has numerous signs and symptoms. As I said earlier, it's a disorder of blood vessels that supply the brain. These blood vessels could get occluded or they could rupture.
Okay.
Now, different parts of the human brain actually subserve different functions. So the signs of stroke will depend on the area of the brain that is affected.
Okay.
But commonly, patients or victims present with weakness, facial weakness. They may present with facial weakness, weakness of the arm, speech difficulty, having difficulty expressing themselves or comprehending sentences. And these are the common features. However, as I said, different parts of the brain subserve different functions. So a stroke patient may actually come down with just sudden blindness.
Oh.
A stroke patient may come down with sudden memory difficulties. A stroke patient may just suddenly lose consciousness. So a stroke patient may just suddenly start convulsing. So the signs are numerous, but the common ones known to most people is the facial weakness where the mouth or the face is twisted to one side, speech difficulty, arm weakness, and weakness of the leg on one side of the body.
That's kind of thank you for breaking that down, really. But is it possible that some of these signs and symptoms can manifest without it being stroke?
Yes, thank you for this question. Actually, this brings us to what we call stroke mimics. Things, other conditions that affect the brain that could mimic a stroke. As I said earlier, stroke is a vascular disorder. So there are other disorders that can look like a stroke, which are not stroke. For instance, somebody with a very low blood sugar can manifest that way, and it is not a stroke. Somebody with a brain tumor can manifest that way, and it is not a stroke. Somebody with a seizure disorder, what we in the general palace we call people know more as epilepsy, can finish convulsing and suddenly discover one side of their body is not moving well. That is not a stroke. We call that Thoth's palsy. So there are several mimics of a stroke, but you don't call them a stroke. They look like a stroke.
Okay.
In such instances, further evaluation by interviewing the patient further, examining the patient, and conducting certain investigations like neuroimaging will help us ascertain the actual cause of such signs.
Dr. Kano, is there any connection between age and stroke? Any connection?
Yes. Actually, advancing age or aging is a risk factor for stroke. It is one of the risk factors we term non-modifiable, meaning you cannot do anything about it. Somebody, as he grows, keeps aging, you can't reverse the age. So aging is a recognized risk factor for stroke.
Indeed. How about sex, gender? Is there any connection?
Yes, gender has connection with stroke in the sense that males are more affected than females when it comes to stroke. But this holds during the reproductive age, when this comparison stands when the woman is still in her, when she's yet to attain menopause.
Okay.
But postmenopausally, this difference doesn't really exist. But before then, males are more affected.
Indeed. Now, Dr. Khan, I want to also talk to you about whether we have classes of stroke or not. Is that a thing? Mild stroke? I don't know what the terms used for them.
Okay.
Do we have classes of stroke?
Yes, we have types and subtypes of stroke.
Okay.
There are two major types of stroke. And these two major types are one, an ischemic stroke. An ischemic stroke simply means a situation where the blood vessel supplying a part of the brain gets blocked. So it's a blockage that causes that form of stroke, ischemic stroke. The second type is what we call a hemorrhagic stroke, or simply put, a bleed. In this situation, a blood vessel within the brain ruptures and blood leaks into the substance of the brain, or the fluid surrounding the brain.
Okay.
So in this situation, we say it's hemorrhagic. But these two forms of stroke are actually subclassified further. But for The purpose of our discussion, I will want to stick to two forms, blockage and a rupture. Blockage, ischemic stroke, a rupture known as hemorrhagic stroke. There are subtypes of ischemic stroke, and there are also subtypes of hemorrhagic stroke.
Indeed. Well, doctor, please break it down for us to the basics so my listener can properly understand. What exactly causes stroke?
Okay. Stroke occurs when there is deprivation of a particular segment or part of the brain, deprivation of oxygen, deprivation of glucose. The brain as an organ doesn't have good storage of glycogen that needs to be broken down anytime it is starved. It doesn't have that reserve. So anytime there is a cutoff of blood supply to any part of the brain, it is starved of oxygen, it is starved of glucose. And the brain cells that we call neurons actually are very intolerant to this form of starvation. They can only survive it for a few seconds to minutes, after which, if supply is not restored, a stroke happens. As we said, there are two forms. This could result either from a blockage or from a bleed. When it is a blockage causing it, we say is an ischemic stroke.
Okay.
When it is a bleed causing it, we say is a hemorrhagic stroke. However, it is important at this point to talk about what could lead or the factors that could lead to either a bleed or blockage.
Right.
What we term the risk factors of a stroke or the conditions that could cause a stroke. Actually, they are numerous. As I said earlier, they could be modifiable or non-modifiable. The non-modifiable ones are things you can't really do anything about. We mentioned earlier, advancing age, the gender of the individual,
right,
males being more susceptible, the race of the individuals, blacks are actually at a greater risk of stroke than whites. And then certain genetic factors may also not be modifiable. For instance, a sickler is at risk of developing a stroke. An individual with sickle cell anemia is at risk of developing a stroke. You may not be able to do anything about his genotype. Now, as I said, the modifiable ones are things you can adjust and things you can intervene.
Right.
And that is the area we emphasize as neurologists, because you can do something about them, either through lifestyle modification or medications. And the list is actually endless, ranging from things, conditions like hypertension, high blood pressure, diabetes mellitus, individuals with elevated blood glucose, individuals that are smokers, smoking, heavy alcohol use, individuals that are obese, individuals that lead sedentary lifestyles, where somebody is mostly inactive. You engage other people to do virtually everything for you. You don't engage in physical activities. Such individuals are at risk of a stroke. As I said, the risk is endless. Certain cardiac conditions can be associated with stroke, and certain infections even can be associated with stroke.
Dr. Cannon, thank you so much for breaking this down. At this juncture, I'll open up the phone lines right now for my listener to call in and ask you questions before we go out for our first break. And then we'll return to continue. Lagos, if she's just joining us, I have Dr. Alfred Kanu, a consultant neurologist with the Federal Teaching Hospital in Gombe, on the show this morning. You can watch live on Facebook and on YouTube. The numbers are 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190 for female callers only. Remember that Health Thursday, we are not, we don't cure, we don't treat. What we do is just to educate on Health Thursday, all right? And please make your questions straight and short to the point. Good morning to you. Good morning.
Good morning, Cherry.
Yes, miss. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you. Good morning.
Yes, good morning to your guest. Please. Mister, I want to know what kind of food My name is Grace. Okay. What kind of food can one eat that can make one to be at risk of stroke?
Okay, food. Doc? Dr. Kanu, did you get that?
Yes, foods that increase the risk of stroke.
Yes, please.
Okay, well, salt intake, high salt containing diet increases the risk of stroke. Individuals that take a lot of fatty foods, rich in saturated fats, increases the risk of stroke. Individuals that take a lot of red meat because of the uric acid content increases the risk for stroke. So what we advocate is actually fruits, vegetables, and reduction in salt intake.
People say that once you've taken, I mean, they can't just feel anything without any food without taste. That's why anything without salt, rather. That's why they take salt a lot. But let me quickly take Abolaji's call before our break comes in. Abolaji, hi.
Yeah, good morning, Sharif. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, thank you.
Yeah, I must commend this doctor. The man is actually very, very good at what he does. He's so eloquent. Even a child, a Marcus woman, will understand the way the man is breaking the things down. Doctor, thank you very much for this enlightenment. You know, personally, for me, my mom suffered stroke, I think back then in 2012. So it was after that time I did a research on it, and I just moved my mind. You understand that? Whatever I have to do,
you have
you
to
understand.
Do it.
I just have to do it to make sure I don't suffer this. Right. Because I've seen people go through pain. But my question now, doctor, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right. My question now for doctor is, what does he think about this belief that people that have stroke is mostly spiritual? You understand? Because back then, during my mom's own thing, we had a lot of stores and that. She went to defend the project and the contract was this.
Oh, Abolaji, I think we lost that call eventually. But Dr. Kanu, please hold the line. We'll come to Abolaji's question in a moment. We need to, we have some announcement in the studio here. Once we're done with the announcement, we'll come back and we'll take, all our lines are blinking, and I'm sure everybody has one question or the other for you, Doctor. Again, thank you for your time. Lagos, let's take this announcement and we're back to continue with the chat with Dr. Alfred Kanu at the Federal Teaching Hospital in Gombe. Stay with us. 01465-7190 if you've got, so all our lines are blinking. So if I pick your call, please go straight to the point, so we can attend to as many questions as possible. Please, thank you. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Yes, please.
I just wanted to ask the doctor that what makes a person slump and dies?
What makes a person slump and dies?
Like almost instantly. It happened to my friend on Monday.
Just this Monday? Oh my God.
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
He took a drink. He said he was feeling dizzy. He sat down and within a few minutes he was gone.
Oh my word.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry, Bia. Bia, yeah, I'm sorry, yeah? Doc, first the question we had before the break about superstition concerning stroke and then slumping. Yeah.
Okay. You know, when people relate things to spiritual issues, one has to be very careful the way you answer such questions. But what we tell our patients is that whether it's spiritual or not, allow us to evaluate you and investigate you. And if we find something physical, allow us to treat it. Okay. That is what we usually emphasize. We avoid dabbling into whether it's spiritual or is an enemy or is a witch or a wizard. As much as possible, we concentrate on the patient.
Okay.
What did he come with? What have we established based on interview, clinical examination, neuroimaging, whatever we have established, if it is treatable, we attend to it. So that is what we concentrate on. The issue of answering whether it can be spiritual or not is a bit difficult. because I'm a scientist, and we were not taught that realm. As much as possible, we concentrate on things we can substantiate and manage, and we avoid controversies.
Bioye, the last caller spoke about a friend who slumped and died. She wanted to know what could have caused it. Is that something you could?
Okay, well, that causes of sudden death most times are vascular. When I said vascular, meaning it's related to blood vessels, but this time around, not just the brain, including the heart. And most times, people who just slump and die, we think of a heart condition first. We call heart attack. Myocardial infarction. That is the commonest cause of sudden death, actually. Stroke can cause sudden death, but not so usual. Most of them get to the hospital alive. But sudden death from cardiac origin, most times it's really dramatic. Quite a number die before getting to the hospital.
Right. Pastor Ladipo is joining us over the phone. Pastor Ladipo, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Yes, please.
This is Pastor Ladi for calling from Orilegum.
You're welcome.
Please, I want to ask the doctor, what is the role of excess cholesterol in stroke? And secondly, we learned that when people have stroke, it's incurable. Is it true? Thank you, and God bless Nigeria.
Yes, please. Thank you, Doc.
Okay. Thank you for the question. Cholesterol is a recognized elevated blood cholesterol. Is a recognized risk factor for stroke. So it is associated with stroke, or it causes stroke. However, it's important I make this point clear. When certain components of the blood lipids are elevated, they cause the blockage I mentioned, ischemic stroke. And if certain components are markedly reduced, they also put the person at risk of another type of stroke, the bleed we call hemorrhagic stroke. But either way, it's a recognized risk factor for stroke.
Indeed. Let's take another call very quickly. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, please.
Sheriff.
Yes, please.
Good morning, doctor. This is Madam Ishu.
You're welcome.
It was, I heard the doctor say, if you are not active, you know, what do you mean by that? Somebody like me, at my age, am I going to be cleaning my house, washing, doing all those kind of things? What I mostly do is going to market and cook. No, that's all. So what activity can one do away from, you know, cleaning of house? I have somebody that comes to clean the house.
Okay.
When you said those type of people are at risk of stroke, that's why I said I should call and ask, what activities can I do away from, you know,
has chosen. Right. Thank you. Doc?
Okay. Thank you, madam, for the question. This is a question that most people wonder when we say they should get active. Getting active doesn't necessarily mean doing something vigorous. Getting active just means doing something to move your body. And there are examples, depending on the age of the individual and presence or absence of certain comorbid conditions like osteoarthritis. But what we advocate is usually brisk walk. One can do brisk walking within his compound or outside his compound for 15 to 30 minutes. Somebody doing that for 3 to 5 times in a week, it's okay. Anything that will make you breathe a bit faster or increase the rate at which your heart beats, it's something encouraged. Not too rigorous that you cannot tolerate. So as much as possible, we advocate that you do what you can cope with and what you can tolerate.
Indeed. We'll take Mr. Francis from Satellite Town. Then we'll head out for a short break. Mr. Francis, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Sheriff.
Yes, please.
I want to ask the doctor a question.
Go on.
Somebody who have a glaucoma from the left eye started, and the left leg and left hand and left leg always free. sometimes in Steve.
Steve, okay.
Glaucoma causes such problem to stroke.
You're wondering if it has You're wondering if it has anything to do with stroke.
When I massage it,
okay,
before you be free.
Okay, all right, Mr. Francis, Doc, any connection? Glaucoma, stroke.
Well, glaucoma is not a known cause of stroke, and then glaucoma can be associated with diabetes mellitus, okay. And diabetes mellitus is a recognized risk factor for stroke. But as I said, stroke, when stroke happens, actually that portion of the brain involved becomes devitalized and it dies off that particular spot. So stroke is not something that waxes and wanes where you will massage and it will normalize. If you see that kind of picture, then it is not stroke.
Indeed. I think we can squeeze in one more call. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, please, good morning to you.
Good morning, Francis. Please, what's the cause of osteoarthritis? And is it curable? And I want to find out if it's a condition associated with age.
Doc, is that your field? Doc, if it's not your field, we can move on.
It's not my field, but I can say one or two things.
Okay.
Osteoarthritis, the most important risk factor for osteoarthritis is actually aging.
Okay.
It's aging. And most times we say we manage it. We don't talk about cure. We manage it to improve the quality of life of the individual, not that you cure it. It's associated with aging. Aging is the most important risk factor for osteoarthritis.
Indeed. Let's take another one. Okay, I think we can go to messages now. It's okay. It will help us with the messages that we have for Dr. This morning. Please, it's okay. Please go on.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Sheriff. The first question here is, the person didn't put his name. He asked, why is it that most often the traditional healers heal strokes better than the orthodox?
Do you have an answer to that? Doc, are you with us, Doc? Okay, Doc is gone. We'll try and get Doc back. Let's quickly head out, take a break. I had announced a break earlier anyway. So let's go on that break right now, and we'll return with Dr. Alfred Kanu. The remaining few minutes that we've got left. Stay with us.
This is The Voice Note on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
We may blame the politicians, but what about the electorate? The electorate also is to be blamed. The electorate has insatiable thirst and hunger for things that they have not worked for. They have been trained and they no longer listen to ideas. One of the pains that one has to endure when you confront your typical African electorate is to convince the electorate that ideas count for something. Many times when you address the electorate and you are waxing eloquent telling them, when I'm elected, I'm going to ensure that we have good health services. We are going to ensure that we have good schools. We are going to ensure that we create opportunities for innovation and invention and create opportunities for young men and women. They are waiting for you to finish. They will tell you, we hear you. We know you are going to do all those beautiful things. But in the intervening period, I must eat. And therefore, no matter how beautiful your ideas are, if you don't carry money on that day, your ideas, like the elephant before them, will never fly.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Oh yes, we're back on the crossfire. Dr. Alfred Kanu is still with us. Yes, you are going through that question, that particular one.
All right, I'll ask it again. Why is it that most often the traditional healers heal strokes better than the orthodox? Someone online would like to know.
Okay, am I audible, please?
Yes, we can hear you, sir.
I'm somebody that works with a lot with statistics. when you say traditional healers heal stroke better than orthodox, it's important you back it up with statistics. Firstly, the traditional healers we are talking about, do they understand what stroke entails, the mechanism involved? And if they do, what do they do to adjust the pathology that has occurred? But for me, the way to approach this kind of question is the patient actually has a choice to make. The patient decides to come to the hospital or to go to the traditional healer. Mm. But part of the reason why we give this enlightenment is to let people know that stroke is something physical, it's something that can be prevented, and it's something that can be treated when it occurs. Traditional healers or spiritual healers at times do what we call miracles, and through prayers and other means. But science is a process. Healing following stroke is a process. Most times it's not something immediate. It takes time. And the reason is because the neighboring brain cells around the area of insult make an attempt to take over the function of the dead cells. So what we call neuronal plasticity. In that kind of situation is not something that occurs so suddenly. Stroke happens suddenly, but the healing and repair scientifically following a stroke is something gradual with physiotherapy and other interventions. But as per miracles and other things, yes, people believe in miracles, and it is actually not healthy to compare scientific platform and the platform of a miracle. There are mechanisms of function. It's not the same. Thank you.
Thank you, Doc. I think I can take another call at this juncture, then we'll go back to the messages in a moment. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Morning to you, sir.
My name is Joseph. I'm coming from Southside Town.
Welcome.
So, please, I want to ask your doctor, please. Why does every morning, I always have this headache whenever I wake up, whenever I wake up every morning. I don't know. If I don't sleep, the headache will not subside. Please, I want to know the cause. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Doc? He has headache in the morning, every morning.
Okay, headache in the morning. Actually, there are numerous causes of headache, and we categorize headache into primary headache and secondary headache. Primary headache, when you look around and you can't find the cause, and secondary, when there is a likely thing that causes it. For instance, somebody with malaria can have headache, somebody with meningitis can have headache, somebody with a brain tumor can have headache. So there are several causes. But the primary one, there is the one that is common to most of us, we call the tension type headache, that can occur either once a year, once in 2 years, mostly related to stress. Once people rest, they feel better. So if it's something that is persisting, I will advise that you see a doctor so that it'll be properly evaluated, because there are several causes of headache. Some are common and some are severe conditions. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go back to WhatsApp and take a message.
All right. So Kingsley from Surulere would like to ask, why is it that there is a higher risk of stroke in males than in females? And what do men need to do differently to prevent the higher risk?
Well, this is actually as a result of the hormonal or the chemistry of a female before she gets to the age of menopause. Certain chemicals we call hormones are released in a female before she stops menstruating, which is the age of menopause. During that period, those chemicals actually have effects on the blood vessels, and these effects are protective effects. So it is not really something that the males will start going about to do differently. Something inherent in the females before they attain the stage of menopause. But for males asking what they need to do differently, there are quite a number of things you can do differently that may not necessarily alter that hormone. That hormone, we can't do much about it.
Okay.
It is nature. Mm-hmm. But the other things to do differently will include regular exercise, healthy eating, smoking cessation, ensuring you go for regular BP checks, also go for health checks where your blood sugar will also be ascertained to be normal, and cutting down on fatty and salty foods and all that. So there are a host of things males can do differently. Thank you.
Thank you too. Let's take this call. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, please.
My name is Didi.
You're welcome.
Please, what is the cause of diverticulosis and is it treatable?
Okay. All right. Doc, did you get that?
Okay. Diverticulosis. Well, that is in the purview of the gastroenterologist.
Okay.
Diverticulosis is something I wouldn't want to talk about okay. now. Thank okay. you.
All right. Thank you, Doc. Thank you for the honesty. I appreciate that so much. Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, please. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning, sir.
Please go
My
on.
Name is Bankole Anifoche.
You
I
welcome.
Just want to ask a doctor. I'm diabetic, really. And but lately, I've been experiencing some kind of like an off bone on my feet, my toes, at the left side. I'm an ELA driver, so as I'm hearing you, I just quickly want to ask the doctor, what can I do to that kind of thing?
You are feeling what? Can you explain the symptoms again?
Bone, like a bone.
Like a burn, a burning sensation?
Yes, on my feet.
Oh, okay.
Like on my toes.
Okay, okay.
Pains, little pains.
Okay.
Bony.
Okay. All right.
Do you get me, sir?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The doctor can yeah. hear you clearly. Thank you, Mr. Bankole. Doc?
Yes, those burning pains you feel in your hands or your soles and feet is actually a manifestation of diabetes, a complication actually of diabetes. We call it peripheral neuropathy. Mm. Peripheral neuropathy. It's a scenario where the nerves are already getting involved because of diabetes.
Mm.
It's a long-term complication of diabetes, and it can be managed
okay.
firstly by ensuring that your blood glucose is well controlled, and then secondly, there are drugs we use. They are not conventional painkillers,
okay.
so that is why using a conventional painkiller may not give you relief. We call them co-analgesics. There are several of them. Okay. I wouldn't want to mention them. I will prefer you seeing a doctor to prescribe them for you.
Brilliant, brilliant. Dr. Kanu, we can't exhaust the calls and everything, but we have to leave it here for today. I would like to say a very big thanks to you, most especially for giving us your time this morning. Thank you so much for coming through to answer questions that our listener has got for you today. Thank you, sir, for the good work that you do.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Alfred Kanu is a consultant neurologist with the Federal Teaching Hospital, Gombe. He joins us. He joined this morning from Gombe, as a matter of fact.
This is an infomercial.
Apologies for that. That's the much we can take on the crossfire today. Thank you all for being a part of it. We've got, I think we have an announcement. Do we have an announcement for them? I think we do. I think
yeah,
we have an announcement for them.
We do.
So I'm going to leave you in the hands of Isoke. Isoke will bring the announcement to you. But for me, you can follow me on social media, Sherif Quadri on Instagram, Sherif Quadri on Twitter, and Sherif Quadri on Facebook as well. I'll see you tomorrow at 5. Tomorrow at 5, we'll start with, of course, the lead. Don't forget that next week, Thursday, we're having the second round of the conversation on stroke. So stay here on Nigeria Info 99.3.
Have your say in what we say.
You always make good points.
We talk the talk.
Talk the talk.
And walk the walk. We are 99.3.
You talk, we listen.
Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info.
This is an infomercial.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.